Let the church say amen. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verses 18, as we sing the song, The Great Redeemer, we are reminded of what the Bible clearly states in terms of where redemption comes from and where it does not come from. 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verses 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. When we sing the great redeemer, just to be clear, we're talking about none other than Jesus Christ. We're not talking about something you can buy, and that's a great segue. Nothing you can buy. We're not talking about anything that is inherited from your family. We're talking about an individual decision to obey God. A choice that we all can make. As we assemble ourselves together today, we're reminded of those that have lost their lives and recently in Jacksonville and Maui, and there's so many places, so many that are hurting today. So let us just be thankful. Be thankful for this moment that we are here to worship the Almighty God. We would ask that if you have not already done so, just silence all electronic devices. Let's be present. Be present. Is that all right? Because we want to do something that is required by the Almighty God. We've done it thus far, singing the songs of Zion, lifting up our prayers to the Father in Jesus' name. We want to just be attentive, because this lesson today is simplistic in a sense, but you can't get deeper theologically. That's the beautiful dichotomy of God's word. God didn't make it to be some kind of mysterious something, a mystery that can never be decoded. God wants all mankind to be saved. So why would he send us on a wild goose chase? And man has really mixed things up in such a way where people think it's got to be something big and all of this. And you're going to find today that it's quite simple. To our visiting friends, thank you for being with us today, from those that have come from both near and far. We got some work to do today, and we're going to go right to it. Brothers, I need my clicker if you have it back there, or maybe it's up here with me, but I need the engineers to say you just need to look down, and it's probably right below you, and so they are always right. They are always right, son and nephew. I'm going to hide it back there one day just to make sure. I'm going to tell them, and they're going to point, and it's going to be back there. Let us go to our lesson text this morning. Again, a precious good morning to each and every one of you. Our lesson text comes to us from 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5 in the verses 1. I'll read for just emphasis' sake, reread for emphasis' sake. Appreciate the brethren that have done an excellent job in leading us in our worship thus far. 2 Kings 5 and 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Today, in terms of your notes, mentally or hopefully physically or electronically, we're going to make three key points. You never know who's listening or watching. I want each of these to simmer for a minute. You never know who's listening or watching. Two, money cannot buy your deliverance. Money or stuff. People talk about being blessed, and you know it's a blessing to live in the United States of America. There's benefits in this country you don't get anywhere else in the world. Some jobs have better benefits than others. And so it's interesting, again, as I'm interviewing quite a bit these days, employees leave one job because the next job pays more, but you better check that benefits package out as well, because they can get you that way. They're going to pay you $5,000 more and give you two pennies in benefits. Then you get sick. You're going to find out how much that job really pays. So that's just a note for it. And I see some folks who've been, we need to, young people recognize that, because I did a summer with my HR team. They were like, most of our young people don't take out benefits. As my grandma say, keep on living. Keep on living. So money can't buy deliverance. I don't want to get in that rabbit hole on that one. And the last point, and our third point, is washing be clean. So today, let's deal with that first point. You never know who's watching or listening or watching. We're going to take you back to the Old Testament today. And as we go back to the Old Testament, I want members of the Lord's church to be reminded, because I'm still asked this question. And I don't know if it's just because people just want to ask, or people just don't know any better. But let me just make it very clear. Brothers, get for me Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Why, as the New Testament church, the church of Christ, do we teach lessons from the Old Testament? That's the most fundamental theological point. Because see, why did God give us the Old Testament? Why was there an Old Testament to bring us up to? Why do your kids get tutoring? Because tutors bring you up to speed to make the grade. Amen. So where's my point? So we go back to the Old Testament, and I'm going to start there this morning, because in Romans chapter 15, Paul, writing to the church of Christ at Rome, says this. Romans 15 and 4, read.
For whatsoever things were written aforetime.
Hold your point. For whatsoever things are written aforetime. Aforetime. Translate that. Before time. Translate that. What was written in the scriptures. What was written. When you hear the word scriptures, they're talking about the Old Testament. For whatsoever things are written aforetime, come on.
Were written for our learning.
Were written for our, who is his audience? Know who's speaking, know to whom they're speaking and what they're speaking about. Paul's writing to the Church of Christ at Rome saying what was written in the scriptures before time were written for our Church of Christ learning. Read on.
That we through patience.
That we, Church of Christ, through the patience.
And comfort of the scriptures.
Comfort of the scriptures. Come on.
Might have hope.
Might have hope. So Paul is saying, Church of Christ, when we go back and study the Old Testament, we're not going back there to see how we need to build an ark of gopher wood. We go back to say God prepared one ark, one place of safety. God gave the specifications. God closed the door. And God allowed people to get in. There's a lesson there. One ark of safety today, the Church of Christ. Specified, not constructed by man, but built by God, founded by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so when he didn't say, Noah, build an ark any way you want. So there's a pattern of learning, a pattern of behavior. So when we go back to the Old Testament, as we're doing today, we're going to go back to 2 Kings in just a minute. We want to, the saints of God, if we cannot make application, then there's a problem. I'm talking to saints now. We don't go back and look back and study a lamb for the purpose of seeing what kind of, you know, a lamb in the Old Testament. Well, Jesus is a lamb of God. Amen. I'm just helping y'all a little bit. This is what tutoring is all about. So, saints of God, when we go back to the Old Testament, our first point today, you never know who's watching or listening. 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to go back to our lesson text, 2 Kings 5. We talked about Naaman. We're going to get back to Naaman in a minute. 2 Kings chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 2. And I'll put most of these scriptures on the screen for your benefit and for your convenience. Brothers will read to emphasize it as well. 2 Kings 5, verse 2 and 3. What does the Bible say? Give me just verse 2 for now.
And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife.
So the Syrians, military strategy, that word gone out by companies. For those of you who recognize military, understand military strategy, they went out on raids, a military raid. So the Syrians went out on a raid by companies, but they segmented the military, they segmented their army, went out on certain raids, and in this raid, they take captives. They take hostages. And they took captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And that maid, don't get into luck. Don't wish anybody good luck, because we believe in the providence of God, not luck. If you got rabbit's foot in your pocket, you might as well throw it in the trash, because that rabbit's foot ain't going to do nothing. And some gravy, that'll be real good, but not in terms of anything else. Horoscopes, rabbit's foot, horseshoes. We trust, if it be the Lord's will, amen, saints. So it just so happened. Syrian military going out on raids. They take hostage, they take captive a little maid, and she just so happened to be serving, waiting on Naaman's wife. Who's Naaman? Remember Naaman, the captain? Translate the word captain. He was a commander in the army, and he's got a wife, and a little maid that was taken captive is waiting on Naaman's wife. And what's Naaman's issue? Leprosy. More to come on that. Verse 3, Gail, read. And listen, you never know who's watching or listening. What did the little maid say? Come on.
And she said unto her mistress.
She said unto her mistress. So the maid said to Naaman's wife, if you will, come on.
Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria? for he would recover him of his leprosy.
The little maid said, "Ooh, if God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, there's a prophet in Samaria, Elisha, if God, that prophet in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." He would recover Naaman of his leprosy. The maid said this, not some medical doctor, a little maid. And come on, what happened? You never know who's listening to her. Look at the sequential nature of this. The maid said to her mistress, and then somebody said, well, why look at verse 4? Come on.
And one went in and
hold
told
her. Hold your point right there, son. Hit those commas. And one went in. So she said to her mistress, and then somebody heard her, and one went in and did what?
And told his lord,
hold
saying.
Your point right. Wait, hit those commas, son.
My bad.
The little maid taken captive said, "Oh, my Lord, there's a prophet in Israel that could heal him of his leprosy." And the Bible said, and then one went in and told his Lord. What did he tell him? Saying,
Thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.
This little maid said there's somebody that can cure Naaman of his leprosy. Let's talk about Naaman for a minute. One of the things I did, I took out the images of leprosy because you all might have had a reaction to that. Some very graphic images. Leprosy is a microbacterial disease that affects the skin. And this man was a mighty man of valor. We're going to get to leprosy in a minute. Let's revisit Naaman. He was a mighty man of valor. Victorious in battle. Military captain, really by translation in Hebrew, commander. The king goes to him. You're going to see how the king responds in a minute. So that's the king's right-hand man. Because one of the things you had to be concerned about from a kingdom standpoint is there's always somebody trying to battle you. Someone's always trying to, you know, you have to always be on guard. That's why these cities were fortified. So you're right. So you want to make sure your commander is healthy. So he's victorious. There's no question about his military acumen, his valor. But he was a leper. Now, we got medical doctors in the house. I just play one on TV. Chronic infectious, it's really a microbacterial disease that mainly affects the skin. It affects the nerves, the mucosal. Look at me trying to be a doctor. Surfaces of the upper respiratory tract and the eyes. In other words, it is uncomfortable. It is gross to look at. I had some images on the screen. And I'm telling you, I had a reaction. It's nasty to look at. But not only that, lepers were treated as outcasts. You know, get away from us. So here's this mighty commander, the king's right hand, who has this dreaded skin disease, leprosy. He was a leper. And so the little maid, point one of three, you never know who's listening, says, "Oh my God, if that man, that prophet in Israel, he could cure my master of his leprosy." Then one went in and made it known. Let's go to stand. I'm going to keep you in a contextual setting to make sure you can track with me better. 2 Kings chapter 5. We're up to about verse 5. Let's pick it up at verse 5. Let me drive for a minute. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold," king to king now, king of Syria, looking out for his right-hand man, writing a letter to the king of Israel, where the maid came from. When you read that, "When this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." Let's pause for a minute. And Lenny, be ready for me in this very next verse. Wait for me in verse 7. So you're the king of Israel. You receive a letter from the king of Syria. The king of Syria's right hand, Naaman. And why would a king have a vested interest in making sure Naaman is safe? Because if Naaman is safe, then I'm safe. I love military, I love strategy, I love leadership, and I love strategy. When we talk about strategy, see that body man's never going to be, 45-degree angle, and he's looking at every single thing. I remember when we've had elected officials come to town and all of that. You know, as a matter of fact, not long ago, President of the United States came down. I was at the event, and I was so fascinated, more along the lines of the Secret Service. I watched them deploy. They were in places people couldn't even see him. I said, I see you over there. And he was probably looking at me like, why is this man? One's underneath, one's above. Well, I mean, everywhere. And then they're just constantly. Y'all see me come up here and I do this? I'm checking all y'all. Some of y'all look a little sleepy. Your head's got to be on a swivel. So what's my point? The king of Syria has a vested interest. My livelihood, my life is saved every day, making sure my right hand, Naaman, is safe. So if Naaman is uncomfortable, he's got leprosy, I will do all I can. So he sent the king of Syria, to be clear, reinforce the point, gold, silver, 10 changes of clothes, raiment means clothing. And he sent all this, help my man Naaman. Now, if you're on the receiving end, king of Israel, you're going to send me this money and this clothes, you want me to heal this man of leprosy? Last time I checked, a king's not a doctor. Last time I checked, a king's not God. And that's exactly, verse 7, what the king of Israel has to say. Read.
And it came to pass.
And it came to pass.
When the king of Israel had read the letter.
So he read the letter. Dear king of Israel, help me, help you, help myself. Here's some money and some clothes. Help Naaman. He read the letter. Read.
That he rent his clothes.
He tore his clothes.
And said.
And said.
Am I God?
Hold your point right there, comma man. Am I God? What in the world is this king doing to me? His commander has leprosy. You're going to pay me? So money cannot buy your deliverance. We live in a society where we think money can do everything. Now, you work and you feed your family. Amen, brethren. Amen, sisters. Am I God? Read.
To kill and to make alive?
To kill and to make alive. What can I do with this man's leprosy? I'm the king of Israel. I have power, but we all need to know our limitations. And we all have them. Let me say that again. We all need to know our limitations, and we all have them. Read.
That this man sent unto me to recover a man of his leprosy?
This man, I love this cake. This man sent to me to recover this man of his leprosy? Look at what he concludes. Read.
Wherefore, consider.
Wherefore, consider, I pray you.
And see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.
This man is picking a fight. Because from a military standpoint, he's saying, here's money, here's clothes. See, trust was a big issue. That's why kings had cupbearers like Nehemiah. You drink it. Hold on, good timing. No, you drink it, and let's wait a few minutes. So, Eric, my cupbearer, you drink this. How you feeling? A little lightheaded. Okay, that's good. Pour it out! What's my point? This man sends me money and clothes and ask me to do something that I absolutely cannot do. I am not God. He must be trying to pick a quarrel, a fight against me. The man of God responds. We're still in 2 Kings chapter 5. You all still there? 2 Kings chapter 5. The man of God responds. Verse 8.
And it was so.
And it was so.
When Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes.
Hold your point. You never know who's listening or watching. You notice the sequential nature of this communication? A little maid tells her mistress, somebody else heard it, somebody else went in, just like when y'all gossip. Would be good, bad, or indifferent, it still works. The little maid, serving Naaman's wife, says there's a prophet in Israel. Someone else heard that, went in, it got to the king. The king read the letter. Well, the king of Syria obviously got word. He sends a letter and clothes and money. King of Israel reads a letter. And now the Bible says, and I underlined it and put it in bold, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard. The king didn't call him. He heard. So what are you going to do when you hear something? What are you going to do, application, when you hear something? Are you going to respond in a godly manner, or are you going to make it worse? When Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had tore his clothes, what did he do?
That he sent to the king saying.
He sent to the king saying.
Wherefore, hast thou rent thy clothes?
O king, see, he's the commander. King, you know, I got to protect you every day. Why are you tearing off your clothes? Wherefore, why have you torn off your clothes, king? Because that was a sign of, when somebody rent their clothes was a sign of anger. Like sackcloth and ashes was a sign of mourning and grieving. So, king, why are you upset? Because as your body man, if you're upset, I need to be aware. What's going on? Why have you rent thy clothes? Look at what he said, but he knew the reason. What did he say next?
Let him come now to me.
Send that man Naaman to me. Pause. Let's pause for a minute. I want to make sure we have application throughout. Brothers and sisters, we have to be in a state of readiness. I will give you some military terms today. We as children of God must always have a state of readiness. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. Somebody comes to you today and brings you a situation. Well, let me think about it. You don't have time to do all that all the time. A state of readiness with your kids. If somebody called you and said, and pray this never happens, your child is in danger. You're not going to say, well, let me think about what I'm going to do. You're grabbing your purse, you're grabbing your keys, you're going wherever your child is, correct? Amen means truly it is so. That doesn't mean you have to respond quickly. You have to be ready to respond. Assess the situation. Naaman heard that the king was upset, rent his clothes. Why are you tearing off your clothes, king? Send them to me. Read.
Let him come now to me.
Let him come now to me.
And he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.
Confidence. Cadence without confidence is confusion. You're going to move. Move with confidence. Let me say that to you again. You may want to put that in your notes. Every man, everyone, cadence. The way you move without confidence, you just said, well, I don't know. That's just confusion. That's just confusion. When you step into that job tomorrow, well, y'all probably off Labor Day. When you step on that lawn to mow that lawn, do it with confidence. My point is this. He said, send them to me. I heard. I inquired about your welfare, king. Look at this cadence here. Look at this movement. Send them to me. And when you send them to me, he didn't say, I might help. He will send them to me now, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. When you step on that job, you step into that school, we as children of God, when people come into contact with us, they need to know that God is working through you and me. Confidence, not boasting. He will know that there is a, and keep that in mind when we close out this lesson today, he will know there's a prophet in Israel. So what happened next? Read.
So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha.
We got to pause here. Now, if this were a workshop, I would give everybody a 15-minute break. Y'all ain't getting that today. If this were a workshop, could I have people say, what do you think happens next? Because obviously, Naaman sent to the king, king of Israel, king of Syria, if you will, got word. And so Naaman came. Here it is. Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot. Now, who is Naaman? Naaman is a commander. He does not travel alone. His whole entourage is now at the house of the man of God. Gail, pick it up in verse 10 in just a minute. I want you to pause for a minute, though. So recognize what's happening here and what's outside this door. I'm coming down, engineers. Naaman, with his military entourage, he protects the king. He's got those that protect him. They're standing outside at the door of the house of Elisha. Now, don't answer out loud. I got it. What would you expect when the commander of the military, the commander of the king's army, is at your door? Who would you expect to greet you? The man of the house. Gail, 2 Kings 5 and verse 10. What does the Bible say?
And Elisha sent a messenger.
Hold on now. No, that's got to be a misprint. Do you know who's at the door? And this is how we think as mankind. Do you know who I am? Humility. Elisha sent a messenger. What did he say?
Unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times.
Come on.
And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.
There it is. Let me ask this out loud. Don't answer anything out loud, please, for decorum. There are those here today that are not Christians. My prayer, and certainly God's will, is that you want to be saved. Let me break that down. Not everyone that says they are Christian are Christians. God has a plan, a simple plan of how you become a child of God. It is not, and if you've done any of these things, I mean you no harm, but I got to tell you the truth. It is not a sinner's prayer. It is not being christened as a baby. It is not asking God to come into your heart. So, brothers and sisters, visiting friends, it's a simple message. This man is tormented by, I don't know if you've ever had, even if you just had just something, you know, if you ever had like this, you just got to, I'm going to do it because make y'all start itching today. Some of y'all like that. You know, you just, you know what I mean? It just consumes you, doesn't it? Imagine having leprosy. So here's this man with all this pomp and circumstance at the door of the man of God, Elisha. Elisha sends a messenger and says, yeah, go wash seven times in Jordan and you'll be clean. Have a nice day. Sometimes we get in the way of a simple, simple, simple blessing because we want it our way. Was he told what to do? Yes. Was he told how to do it? Yes. I'm sure the very next verse says he was so happy. Read, Gail.
But read. Naaman was wroth.
Naaman was wroth. Wroth doesn't mean he was content. He's angry. Why?
And went away and said.
And so he was not only mad, he left. You ever walked away mad from anywhere? I already know. You wouldn't even answer out loud. He's at the door with all this pageantry. The messenger says, well, I should go to Jordan seven times, dip. Have a nice day. You'll be clean. All set. You're good. He went away angry. Read.
Behold.
And said, behold.
I thought he will surely come out to me.
Let's pause right there. First of all, why didn't the man of God come out to me? Why didn't Elisha come out? Two, read.
And stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God.
Come on.
And strike his hand over the place and recover the leper.
Wait a minute now. This man was told exactly what he needed to do to be saved, to be cleansed, to be healed. And his concern is, why didn't Elisha come out to me, one? And then when he comes out, why doesn't he stand over me? Look at this modern day religious application. And strike his hand over the place and I will be healed. People today still want the abracadabra, Shazam religion. Some of our own kinfolk, some of the folks maybe even in here. That's what sells out stadiums. Shazam, you are healed. Wasn't applicable then. It's not applicable now. Why didn't he come out and then strike his hand over the place? Then he goes even further. Now, I should have put the graphics up here. There were two beautiful rivers, Abana and Pharpar. Beautiful, beautiful rivers. The Jordan River, muddy. So he didn't come out and strike his hand over me. He didn't come out anyway. He sent a messenger. But not only that, can't I go another place? Read, Gail.
Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel?
So there's some better water. This is what we do. We get in the way. Did God, through his messenger, through his prophet, tell him what he needed to do? Yes. If I show you Abana, Pharpar, and then Jordan, you would say, those are prettier. Everything that's pretty, everything that's the glimmers ain't gold. Are not Abana and Pharpar better? And so what did he say? Read.
May I not wash in them and be clean?
Can I, if I have to go to the water, can I go to the better water and be clean? What happens?
So he turned away and went in a rage.
So instead of doing what God said, how God said, do it, we seek to come up with our own plans. Brothers and sisters, our final point today. Somebody has to be the voice of reason. You never know who's watching or listening. Naaman travels with an entourage. He's upset, having been told what he needed to do to be healed. The Bible says in verse 13.
And his servants came near and spake unto him.
His servants. Look at this now. Start with a little maid. His servants came near and spake unto him and said,
My father.
Look at the respect here. My father.
If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing.
If the prophet had said, abracadabra, some great thing.
Wouldst thou not have done it?
You would have done it. Wait, hold your point, son. And here it is in religion today. If we want the glitz and the glamour, it's simplicity of preaching the gospel. It is not about us jumping up and down and wearing big crosses. Nothing wrong with jewelry, but let's keep things in context.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Not about wearing some religious attire. God works through our heart. He gives us simplistic word. And if you want to be saved today, the message is still the same. Wash and be clean. God is not in the dry cleaning business of sinner coming to my heart, sinner's prayer. No, sir, no, ma'am. If he told you to do something, some miraculous thing, you would have done it. Read. How much rather then?
When he
said to thee,
wash and be clean.
Now, basically, the servant said, with all due respect, he called him father, show respect. He just told you to wash and be clean. You sitting there itching. You're tormented by leprosy. The man said, wash. And if he told you to do all this stuff, you would have done it. Wash and be clean. It's a question mark on that. Wash and be clean. Read.
Then he went down.
Wait a minute. Voice of reason. So here's a couple things. Application. Don't be afraid to speak up. Let me say that again. Don't be afraid to speak up. A little maid had no authority, serving Naaman's wife. You may be that voice that leads to somebody's salvation. Don't be afraid to speak up. Second point, or probably 10th point, when leaders fail to listen, you fail to lead. Listen. Naaman, commander could have said, get out of my face. He listened. He was upset. He went away. But he listened. Read.
Then he went down. And dipped himself.
Seven times.
In Jordan.
In Abana.
In Jordan.
In Pharpar.
In Jordan.
He did what the man of God told him to do, how he told him to do it. And that's the plan today. Do what God says, how God says do it. He went down into Jordan, not once, not twice, not three times. He went seven times in Jordan. And what happened?
According to the saying of the man of God.
According to the saying of the man of God.
And his flesh came again.
He was that microbacteria that was eating at his skin and causing the skin to swell up and to just all kind of just nasty stuff is now clean. His flesh came again. What, like what, Gail?
Like unto the flesh of a little child.
Can you imagine going from one extreme to the other? Like a little child. Read.
And he was clean.
And he was clean. What did Naaman, what did Elisha say to the king? Send him to me. And when you send him to me, he will know that there's a prophet in Israel. Verse 15, listen.
And he returned to the man of God.
So now Naaman returned to the man of God.
He and all his company,
his whole entourage.
And came and stood before him. And he said, behold,
look. Wait a minute. Can you imagine when he says, behold, look, your skin. Look. Come on.
Now I know.
Wait a minute. Now I know.
That there is no God
there
in all the earth.
No God in all the earth.
But in Israel. Now therefore,
I pray thee,
take a blessing of thy servant.
Now he wanted to give Elisha something now. We're going to talk about that next week. And our lesson, show me the money. That's going to be next Lord's Day, to be God's will. Show me the money next week. It goes on from here. But I got to go ahead and give you this before I sit down. The same thing happens today. These are written for our learning. What are our takeaways? Sin is that quote-unquote leprosy. Sin is that infection. How many of us have been infected? Again, keep in mind, when we talk infection, I mean, some maybe for the rest of their life may wear a mask. It's someone's prerogative. Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that. That's a personal decision. People take precautions. Some take vitamins. We do all we can to avoid infection. But the last time I checked, you're going to go outside, you're going to breathe some air. It's just how but wash your hands. People wash their hands now that post-COVID than they did beforehand, I hope. Amen. Would have been great right there, but that's okay. I'm feeling some kind of way. I'm fist bumping everybody today. There will be no hands shaking out there because you all didn't pass that test. Y'all think I'm joking. Nevertheless, we do all kinds of things to avoid infection. The greatest infection known to man is sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is the power? Go to Isaiah 59, brothers. Isaiah 59, give me 1 and 2. When we think about what sin does for man, what sin does to man, where sin puts man, Isaiah chapter 59, beginning at about verse number 1. Isaiah 59, beginning at verse 1. That's what I want. Read.
Behold,
the Lord's hand. Come on.
The Lord's hand is not shortened.
The Lord's hand is not shortened.
That it cannot save.
That it cannot save.
Neither is his ear heavy.
Heavy.
That it cannot hear.
Hold your point right now. So God is able. God is able. So what does the Bible, what does the Messianic prophet Isaiah say? Behold, look, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. It's not that God won't, cannot hear. It's not about inability. It's about a choice. What do you mean, preacher? Verse 2, read.
But your iniquities
your
have...
Your iniquities, your lawlessness, your sin, that infection, read.
Have separated between you and your God.
Sin separates man from God. There's your biblical reference. Sin separates man from God. Not that God cannot save us, not that God won't hear us, but sin gets in the way. We have to do something about our sins. How many have sinned? All have sinned. So we all need to be washed. We all need to be clean. Sin separated between you and your God. Come on.
And your sins.
And your sins.
Have hid his face from you.
Have hid his face from you.
That he will not hear.
That he will not hear. Not that he cannot. He will not. Why? Because he's God. And so what's the payment for sin? You know, the word wages. We talk about benefits to start the lesson. We close the lesson with wages. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin, the payment for sin is death. But the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God has given us all the opportunity to be saved. God has given us the gift of salvation. So how are we saved today? I told you how we are not saved. Sinner's prayer, asking God to come into your heart. Somebody laying on their hands, like the Naaman wanted. Come out here and lay your hand on the spot. Do something. Do something with your hands. Use some. Say some big words. And won't that work? People are still looking for that today. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Song leader, come on. 1 Peter chapter 3. Beginning at verse 20. Song leader's like, is he kidding me? 11, 13. Come on. Son, you stay, I'll keep going. 1 Peter chapter 3. Beginning at verse 20. He didn't even know. 1 Peter 3 and verse 20. Read. Which sometimes were disobedient.
When once the long suffering of God.
When once a long suffering of God waited.
Waited in the days of Noah.
What's your point? We talked about Noah this morning. That was strategic. God told Noah to build one ark. God was long suffering. He gave people time to get into that one ark. How many arks were there? One ark. Who gave Noah the specifications? God did. So now, not only that, when God said, you know, Noah, build it any way you want, he said, no, you make an ark of gopher wood. It's going to be so this wide, this tall. Here's the specs of the window, one door, one source of light, one way to get in, and I'm closing the door. So God gives man time to get into that one ark. Now Peter is going back to the Old Testament to make reference today on how we are saved. When once a long suffering waited in the days of Noah, come on.
While the ark was a preparing. Wherein few. That is eight souls. Were saved by the sinner's prayer. By water.
Were eight souls, Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Do the math. Eight souls were saved, not by a sinner's prayer. Eight souls were saved, not by the laying on of hands. Eight souls were saved by
water.
Water. The pattern of God. So God, from the very beginning, has a place of salvation and deliverance through water. And guess what? In the days of Moses, yeah, I'm glad you're up here, but you ain't going to be there. In the days of Moses, you already know. So ark delivered by water. In the days of Moses, the children of Israel, Egypt, Pharaoh and all his chariots and all his men were chasing them. They came to water. And you hear the pattering of the horse's feet. You see, there's nowhere to go. What did God do? What did Moses say? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And what happened? God opened up that Red Sea. It wasn't Moses' power. It was the power of God. And they, children of Israel, were delivered by water. Pattern. So do you think today, God who delivered the ark by water, and if you read that story, and we're going to go back, we may do a series on water, that ark was lifted up by the water, and everything outside the ark died. Moses, the children of Israel, walked on dry land. Can you imagine walking through the Red Sea? Thousands of feet deep, water standing up like a wall. Can you imagine walking on dry land, looking and seeing the fish, and the water is moving, but you're not getting wet? I would say, God, whatever you need me to do, I'm good. And they still murmured and complained. That part. They walked on dry land and got to the other side and still fussed. And then when Pharaoh and his men got into that dry land, they're like, oh, we're going to get them now. What did God do? Release. They all died in that water. So deliverance by water, deliverance by water, Naaman cleaned by water. And so now all of a sudden God's going to say, well, just do sinner's prayer now. 1 Peter 3, verse 21. Here it is. Read.
The like figure.
The like figure. The like pattern. The like scheme. The like figure. Come on.
Whereunto.
Slow it down. Whereunto.
Even baptism.
Even baptism. What does it do?
Doth also now.
Save us. That's how you're saved today. You cannot be saved outside of baptism. Once you've heard and believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you've heard what he's done for our sins. He died. He not only came from heaven, walked on this earth, was obedient until death, faithful until death. Jesus Christ died one time for the sins of the world. He shed his blood for the sins of the world. There is no white church. There is no black church. It's just the church of Christ. Purchased by the blood of Christ. We have people here that speak various languages. We got Creole speakers, Spanish speakers, of course, English speakers. We got all different languages. But the message of the cross is wash and be clean. Once you've heard and believe what Jesus Christ has done, you must be willing to change your mind. Naaman changed his mind. He went from being angry. He didn't even come out to talk to me. Left. Voice of reason. Somebody has to be that messenger. If he had told you to do something special, you would have done it. Why don't you just do what the man said? Okay. He did it, and he was clean. Some of you today, quit expecting God to do something miraculous. He's already done the miraculous. God became flesh, dwelt among us, walked on this earth, hung on the cross. John 19, when they saw... They broke the legs of the first, and they broke the legs of the second. When they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. They broke not his leg. But the soldier with the spear pierced his side. And the Bible says in John chapter 19, verse 34 and following, forthwith came out blood and water. You want to come into contact with the blood of Christ, the great Redeemer, redeemed by the blood of Christ? You must go to the water. So once you've repented of your sins, you confess Christ to be the Son of God, upon that confession, we baptize you today. Seven's the number of completeness. He was dipped in Jordan seven times. You go down one time today. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 3 and 21, get a lot lighter part of that. Whereunto baptism, the like figure, whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Not
the putting away,
putting away the filth of the flesh. Hold your point. It's not a bath. But
the answer of a good conscience.
The answer of a good conscience.
Toward God.
Toward God by.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Excellent, son. See, we respond to God. See where I'm pointing? Conscience. You ever done something wrong and your conscience bothered you? Let me say that again. Have you ever done something that you know you had no business doing? I'll close my eyes. I won't look at you. And your conscience bothered you. Well, the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ is being baptized. So if you have prayed a sinner's prayer and somebody told you you were saved, they were wrong. Cadence without confidence is confusion. I'm going to close with this. I speak boldly, confidently, but most importantly, scripturally, and letting you know. If you have gone through the sinner's prayer and said, well, I was baptized later. No, no, they told you you were saved and you had that sinner's prayer. You're not saved. And that one ark of safety is the Lord's church, the church of Christ. One body, one church, one ark of safety in different locations, not this physical building. Jesus said in Matthew 16 or 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. It. We get that in every aspect of life except the Lord's church. You got one car, it is parked out there. You don't try to walk out there. Which one's mine? You know good and well which one's yours, because you have one. If you have $1 in your pocket, you're going in there, let me see what I got. You know good and well you got $1 folded in your pocket. We get one in every aspect of our lives. The Lord built one church. We're guided. The way we worship, the way we live, we're guided by his word. That's why we don't give heed to what people think, what people are used to. It's the word. That's our guide. And so if you're here today, the question on the floor, as a song leader has selected, is have you been to Jesus? Having been to Jesus for your cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Perfect song. The plan of salvation, one more time, is yours. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized today. Today. If you need to respond, God loves you. We love you. Make the best decision of your life today as we together stand, as we together sing. Won't you come?